Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Hawk Talk. We're going to be talking about the school board meeting. We're going to do a school board meeting summary today in this episode for the school board meeting that was Wednesday, September 20th, 2023. I have here with me today Principal and Superintendent Darren Siemens, and also two from the Adams County Record, Andy Rail. Thank you both for coming in today. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
You bet. It was planned for you and I to do this, and then miraculously, Andy just
we're going
to
start with that.
Up. No, it was good. I'm glad
it was good.
Here.
Oh, there we go. We can get some good additional questions and roll with it. So I'm going to start just going off of basically your minutes that you guys have put out into public here. First thing is, you know, public hearing for tax levies. Is there anything, any notable notes from that?
No, and before we do that, I do want to apologize. You know, last year we did a good job at the end of the year of doing this. Think the next day or within 2 days of the meeting.
Yep.
So I do want to apologize to our parents and people of the community.
Yep.
With homecoming being there and all that stuff, I think we just kind of been put busy on the back burner. But
yeah, it's really been busy. And I'll throw my hat into on that apology too, because I you know, I think the beginning they're like, oh yeah, it'll be busy, but it'll be fine. But oh boy,
yeah, this been year busy.
Was
been
moving. Busy.
So of course this is the time of the year when we were doing this meeting. We had to do the public hearing on our budget. Mm-hmm. You know, the county did it, the city did it. That's just what we do. So we opened that up for any questions from the community. There were none on that. Mm-hmm. Our budget's looking pretty good considering we came out of a negotiations year. So, of course, the salaries are up. That happens. But otherwise, we were able to make some cuts here and there due to some of the infrastructure changes that we have on campus. We were able to lower what we were typically paying for heating and things like that, or at least budget for it. Now, knock on wood, hopefully we don't have a repeat of last winter. So we were able to make some changes there. And then after that meeting was closed, we moved into our regular school board meeting.
Awesome. So then, you know, we had the approval of minutes, you know, the regular school board meeting minutes, but then we started talking about the consideration of bills, the September school board bills, and then also the August manual checks. What usually goes on with those? Just kind of as a reminder, now we're starting to do these again here in the school
again,
year.
Yeah. So again, with the bills, you know, with the fiscal year starts July 1. And it's kind of weird. You know, we start paying for 23-24 in July 1. We don't approve the budget until September.
Yep.
So you're kind of running on what you hope is going to come in and stuff, right? So we have our usual bills going on, payroll starts, things like that. So you go through all those types of things. Any work that we've had done on the building, whether it be through an outside plumber or some things like that, of course, you're going through and approving all those with the bills. And then, of course, with the manual checks, it's a similar type situation. Maybe some coaches are getting paid, you know, some duties that have been done that way, oil changes on the buses, that kind of stuff. So it's just those month-to-month things that we have to pay. Mm-hmm. That we know are coming, and then some of the emergency things that come up when, like I said, we have to have a plumber come in or an electrician, things of that nature. So
more or less just all those things. And then I'm assuming with the next section, which is financial reports, you know, you had your August and your July, your August financial report and your July activities report.
Yep.
I'm assuming that's just getting everybody caught up on yep. what's going on.
So what we do with that is, of course, we had a projected budget figure already in there. So when you see those reports, it goes line items. It goes through and says, okay, this is what was the budgeted amount. This is the amount that was spent in the month. And then this is the amount that's been spent from July 1 to the date of the meeting. So you're able to see where we're at with percentage-wise on that budget for that particular line item, whether it be superintendent salary or it's maintenance or it's the electrical. So it's a more detailed, so you can see if there's any crazy spending that's taking place that wasn't necessarily anticipated.
Okay.
So like right now, this time of the year, you know, those percentages should be very small, like in the single digits. And as we move throughout the year, you know, when we get to the break, you know, holiday break, Christmas break, you know, you're going to be looking at those percentages. Typically should be in the 40% because we're approaching halfway through the year, you know, and then as you move through the year, if you've done things right, as you get closer to the end of June and we've budgeted correctly, we should be getting to, you know, 80-90% of that budget used. And ideally, hopefully, we have some savings in there at the end of the year and don't really actually hit the 100%. Okay. I mean, that's nice, because then we have some money that we can play with a little bit and start to put into some student activity accounts, or student accounts, we call them that, so we can use for kind of to create some money for some deferred maintenance type issues that we normally wouldn't have the money to do possibly. So,
gotcha. Awesome. Yeah. So that kind of wraps up the financial reports. The rest of the school board meeting is more underneath this miscellaneous business, unfinished business, and new business. Let's talk about miscellaneous business. First thing we got on that line is superintendent and secondary principal report.
You bet. So that's where, of course, we turn in our reports prior to the meeting, so the board members have an opportunity to spend a few days reading through what we have.
Okay.
And so this is an opportunity where we sit there and we answer any questions they have to provide more detail, make some explanations. So just some of the things that I talked about, or that I had shared with them, is, of course, our homecoming that has taken place, but it was prior to. So some of the plans with that. On that note, too, I do want to thank the community for the great support that they gave throughout the week with homecoming.
Definitely.
The window decorations and stuff were awesome. Great participation from community at our events throughout the week, whether it's the games, the volleyball games, or the football game. Very, very good crowds. And even the ability for some of our parents and community to come to our pep rally was really good.
Actually, we had really high numbers for the pep rally.
Yeah,
it
was nice.
We had, I want to say, what was it, roughly like 20, 25, maybe 30 parents that were just in there. So it was a pretty packed house in that gym that day.
It was really fun. So on that note, again, thank you everyone for the participation for homecoming. Roughly next year, looking about that same time frame in latter September. Mm-hmm. I think we play Napoleon during next year's homecoming. So, cool. So we talked about that a little bit, talked a little bit about some replacements that we're doing with their AC units in the classrooms. We have a plan worked out with Erickson Heating and Air to where every year we replace about 5 of those.
Okay.
So that way we're not replacing them all at the same time.
Okay. So there's always just a rolling.
Yep. Always kind of a rolling turnover. And then, so we got about 2 more years in that plan, and then we should be able to take a break for about 10 years.
Okay.
And then we start it up again, because these mini splits, they're great. I mean, they allow us to do AC. Anyone that has them in their home would, I think, agree. It allows us to run AC where our homes may not have the infrastructure to do it. The problem is these things are not made for the fittings and stuff. They're not made for the huge temperature variances that we have up here, the hot and the cold. Yep. So if you can get 15 to 18 years out of these things, that's a win. Okay. The other nice thing about the new ones that Tyler's putting in and Darwin are putting in is they have the ability to heat. So like right now, you look at today where we have low temperatures, we don't have the boilers fired up yet, you know, because when we fire in them, I want to keep them going for the economic value of doing that. In right now, probably 60% of our rooms, 70% of our rooms, we have the ability to heat with these ACs. Especially considering that we're still above freezing, still above zero kind of a thing. And we're using that and using electricity, which anyone that deals with propane knows that electricity is cheaper than propane right now. So, so there is some cost savings to that as well. So
very awesome.
Other things, of course, we're updating some things on the playground. That unit's been out there for 20 plus years. So we had to replace some of the some of the slides that
yeah,
gave
there's
out.
A new slide on there now.
And we have another one we have to do there, and it's been nice. Mr. Tim and his boys have been helping do that, and he's had them plot out some stuff and using those mathematical skills. It's nice to see.
Absolutely.
So we have that going on. Of course, we had parent-teacher conferences take place. We had our AVI came in and tested our fire alarms and all that good stuff. The annual compliance report, that's where Mr. Erickson and I go through and vouch to the state that we have licensed and qualified people in the positions that they're in across the board. And then that was kind of pretty much it with mine.
Okay. So then that kind of moves us on to the elementary principal report. So what did Mr. Erickson have?
Yeah, Mr. Erickson, next time we should get him in here. So Mr. Erickson, one of the things that they're doing down there that is new this year, to the extent that it is this artisan residency. They're working with Myra Klein. I believe she's out of Mott. Well, she'll come every month, and she's going to work with all the kids K-6 on art. And our staff has done a good job throughout the building, but definitely on the pre-K-6 side over the years to really work art into their lessons.
Yep.
Without us having an art teacher.
Yeah.
Where that's all they do is art, you know?
Yep. Absolutely.
We've played with the idea, I think, over the years, you know, just with my experience being here as counselor and stuff. I know there has been discussions over the years, and I know Mrs. Mosier did play a role in having an hour or two at one point. Yep. I think there was one year where she did have an hour or two of art for the high school.
Yep.
So anyway, this is a great, I'm going to call it a compromise, to where we take some of that pressure off of our classroom teachers, but provide some opportunities mm-hmm. for our kids to work with someone who is very divested in art and move forward with that.
And also like a semi-local entity, you know, I mean, like just to, yeah. you know, across the way over in Mott, you know, so that way that all that kind of stays local and stays here. So that's really great.
Definitely. And he's had great support. Mr. Erickson has found great support in helping with the funding of that program. And we thank those entities. I know the Clothes Closet has been involved in that. I know that West River Health Services has been involved in that, the foundation. And every time I start to thank people, I kind of worry I'm going to forget someone. So I'm almost positive I probably have forgotten someone. And I apologize for that. But great local support for that program. The other big thing is Mrs. Erickson and Mrs. Schneider, they were awarded a $2,000 Voya Unsung Heroes grant based upon their entry on the Wax Museum activity that they do. Hmm. So we've got $2,000 to help us with that activity, the night at the museum.
That's awesome.
And this is a year for that again. It's like a 2-year rotation because mm-hmm. the kids do research on the part that they're going to play down there. And by winning that grant at the level that they did, it did qualify them for a $25,000 level grant as well.
Wow. So by getting that one, they have access to the other one.
Yeah, totally.
That's awesome.
I see a question from the Adams County Record.
Real quick, back to that art implementation. When do you expect to see that starting? Is that looking into next school year?
It's taking place right now.
This semester?
Yep, okay. Totally. Yeah, when we get done here, Andy, I'll walk you around and show you some of the things. And you know what? I'd be curious your take on this. I mean, you're a product of Henry Public School. I mean, granted, you graduated. I think you were the class of 2008.
Yep.
But, I mean, as most people know, you went on and pursued art at the college level, and you're very artistic yourself. What's your thought on art in school?
So art is subjective. So the mm-hmm. art classes that I remember taking when I was here were over ITV. And I didn't have a problem with that per se, other than maybe some lack of discipline within myself or other classmates who kind of knew they could sort of goof around off camera, but that's also art in some perspectives. So it's a thing where if it's not there, or if the inability to have an outlet for something like that at an academic level, mm-hmm. or it being seen at an academic level, it hurts. So knowing that there's a presence there for that, that sort of outlet again is fantastic. And, just the mere mention of it gets me excited.
Good.
So I'm anxious to see, how it plays out or what's even happening right now. So that's why I just had to ask.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I wanted your input, just to see if it was something that you were like, if it excited you a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Like, you know, and everybody's different when it comes to it, because I remember the art classes that we had, you know, you're kind of given a base level of, okay, well, we're going to do abstract art. Mm-hmm. Well, that could be anything, you know? And so you just kind of have this ability to pull from within yourself, and you're never wrong. Other than maybe if you're obviously not trying.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it comes down to.
But you're never wrong, and don't let them give you that excuse of you can't rush art. Baloney. Because during math class, they asked me what I did for problem number 12, and I drew a tank. So if I want to express myself, I can do it rather quickly when it comes to a pen and paper, or pen and pencil.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's just kind of, it's a very relaxed environment that allows students to express themselves in a really organic and positive way. And I think that if you don't have that at a minimal level, then that's, in my opinion, then you're not really a school.
Yeah, because then you're not multidimensional at that point.
Yeah, you're missing some of the marks. You know, that'd be no different than if 20, 25 years from now you found out, they don't do wrestling here anymore. Really? They don't do wrestling? Wrestling meant this much to me when I was in school, you know? But
and that's kind of our whole goal here at Hettinger is try to provide as many outlets and opportunities for our kids as possible. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're not to the full capacity they could be because of a multitude of reasons.
Absolutely.
But when we have the opportunity to provide these things, we need to do that. And I like this one because it's all year long. It's not like we're bringing somebody in for a week.
Yeah.
And we're going to hit it hard for a week. And then, okay, we're not going to touch this again until the fall of next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, so
hopefully something like this is also a gateway to even more extracurricular or more activities.
Correct.
Too.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. You know, and it's kind of a reminder to the community. It's like we have a lot of talented people in the community that, I mean, we have people that work with pottery. We have people that paint. You know, it's one of those things to where if you have an idea or if you'd like to come in and spend some time with the kids, you know, we don't know if we can do that until we have the conversation,
mm-hmm.
you know? So if you're out there and you're like, hey, I wouldn't mind being able to come in and maybe spend some time with a class and show them some of this stuff, either get in touch with myself or Mr. Erickson and we'll see what we can do. You know, oftentimes those are the experiences that make the things you've learned in class real life and make it something you can it makes a more memorable moment that they can recall later on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So
that's the only unfortunate side of the emotions and attitude of artists is that they're very humble and they're very quiet.
Yeah.
You know, hey, you can draw. Oh, no, I can't. Really? I'm not that good.
Often, yeah.
You
do that.
You got to pull them in this. Here.
Yeah.
And I think you can.
Yeah.
But just knowing that if you put the word out that you're looking, and then if you go out and little boots on the ground and actually go talk to them one-on-one, I think they'll do that.
Yep.
And there are plenty of talented people around here.
And there's people, I mean, as I'm saying this, I can think of names and I don't want to name them now, but I mean, it's like, okay, you sit down and have a private conversation with this person, that person, that person. So,
yep.
Awesome. So yeah, that's kind of, I mean, Mr. Erickson had some other things in there as well, but those are two things that I definitely wanted to make sure we talked about today. So
awesome. So it sounds like that kind of wraps up our elementary principal report.
Yep.
So moving forward, the next line item here is athletic director report. What did Mr. Kohler have to share with us?
So Mr. Kohler, he gave us an update of all of our sports that are taking place right now, the cross country and volleyball and football teams. You know, so we went forward with that. He gave us some information on games that were coming up. And all that good stuff. And if you're listening, you know, remember you can always check out our webpage and go under calendars and you can look at everything that's going on.
Yep.
Or you can also on the side, there's a filter where if there's a certain activity you're looking for, you can click on it and it'll just bring the schedule up for that. So
yep.
I do know, I mean, we're getting to, I mean, it's October, so pretty soon, you know, the fall seasons will be coming to an end and we have one more home game here at Hettinger. Hopefully we're all
football.
Hoping, I mean, we're all hoping the boys have been working hard. We want to, hopefully we'll get into the playoffs and have an opportunity to do some more there.
Absolutely.
They're working really, really hard to achieve that goal. You know, volleyball is really going to start gearing up to a lot of regional games that are going to have a lot of importance on it. I was just actually looking at the Adams County record this morning from last week and, you know, it had the polls in there, you know, where we were 7-7 at the time of the printing. But 1-1 in the region. So it's like these games are really going to start having some implications.
Yep.
And again, I know the girls have their goals to get to in cross country before we know it, that's going to be over too. So, so again, if you want to see what's going on and where you can go to watch these kids working, make sure you check out our webpage and check out that calendar. So, okay. Other things coming up, of course, the other big thing that Mr. Kohler touched on was in that later on, there was a vote in the board meeting to talk about admission prices. The recommendation was to increase our admission prices for adults up to $7 and for students and 55 and older up to $5. And actually later on in the meeting that was approved. And in order for that to happen, both school boards have to approve. So we have same prices here at Hettinger and same prices in Scranton. So
okay.
we did raise the prices for admission from to $7 for adults and $5 for students and for 55 and older. So,
okay, awesome. So that wraps up our student council report. Let's take a look at committee reports. What do we have going on with our committees?
So actually, there weren't really a lot of committees. There weren't, we didn't have any committees to report on.
Okay, but that's when we would.
We leave it on there just that way we don't have to continue. So there were no separate committee reports that had to come in to this meeting at all. So
okay, so then next up, unfinished business. One of two items, the EngTech update and then the pool passes. Let's talk about those.
Yeah, so EngTech update, there was not much to report there. It's been a struggle trying to close the pool jobs. I don't know how to say that much more nice than that, I guess. We've been struggling trying to get this thing done. I mean, the pool is open. The jobs haven't been finished completely. Mm-hmm. There's things that need to be fixed. There's things that need to come back and tweak a little bit. Mm-hmm. So we're still on, we're
polishing.
We're polishing, but we're trying to hold people accountable to finish the job.
Okay.
The pool passes, there was just discussion on whether or not the school was going to look at taking pool passes and making them year round or just keeping them as seasonal, like summer pool activity passes. So what we're trying to do is we do have opportunities in the morning for people to lap swim from, I believe it's from 6 until 7.
Sounds right.
A.M. And that's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then in the evenings, Mrs. Erickson and her staff have some things where they're able to do some water aerobics, things like that. So actually what we did is from 1 to 2 in the afternoon, the pool is also open for lap swimming. And that's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So we're trying to gauge the community involvement in that to see if we need to broaden the passes to be a year long type of a pass. Yep. And right now, honestly, it's, if we don't start to get some more people at that 1 to 2 o'clock, economically, it doesn't make sense to continue offering that.
Yep.
That we're going to give it another good month because some of the people being sick that were involved in this and trying to get the advertisements out there, we haven't been mm-hmm. able to do that. So, yep. That's kind of where the pool pass.
So just weighing out the options.
Yep.
Basically.
On the side of the community involvement in terms of a Monday through Friday, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. schedule, I feel like a lot of those people who would be interested in doing that are stuck at work.
Well, and that's something that's why we have the same opportunity at 6 a.m. to 7. Yeah. So we're trying to make this one to two it's more geared for a retired type demographic would be, Monday through Thursday. So, we're just trying to provide that opportunity for those that maybe are retired and have the ability to come in and do that in the afternoons rather than mm-hmm. early morning.
Yep. And the other stipulation, I suppose, or the safety for safety reasons, there would have to be a lifeguard on duty always. Right.
Always. Yep.
And I'm assuming that that's a tough thing to accomplish if you're wanting to open up. Okay, let's say we'll do open swimming from 6 to 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. But then who's going to be your lifeguard?
Correct. Okay. Yeah, that's right. We have a great group of young kids that took on that and went to the training to be lifeguards. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, but they're active and they're doing things, active. So you're right, Andy. We're at the whim of, do we have employees available to be there in a lifeguard capacity? So, So, I mean, it would be awesome to have this thing just open.
Yep.
We just don't have the staff to do that. So maybe in the future.
Would the staff need to come from within the school or would that
not
be?
Necessarily, okay. Not necessarily. And I do know Mrs. Erickson is working on, I believe there's going to be some trainings in December. Don't quote me. I want to say around the 17th or 18th.
Okay.
So again, if there's someone in the community that's like, hey, I would love to be trained to be a lifeguard. Yep. Let myself, Mr. Erickson, Mrs. Erickson, somebody up here know. And then if you go through that, then we can have the discussion on, okay, what hours would you be available to be here? So we can have that open.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think ultimately it would have to be opened up in such a way because staffing is such a big issue all over the place.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And opening that up to, and in the long run, it is a community pool within the walls of the school.
Yep.
Yep.
So, economically, when you're looking at it and you're not seeing the numbers of people turning out for these open swim times, in consideration of other people's schedules is one thing, but You know, we all wanted this pool. You know, we all supposedly wanted it. I want it. Yeah. I want to be there.
Yeah.
I guess I can only speak for myself as well as having a tight schedule. So that would be a part of it. But if it was, if the schedule opened up a bit more, it would give more reason and more opportunity for others who can't make it to those other ones.
So it's just that big old balancing act.
Yep. Definitely.
Yep. Awesome. So that kind of wraps up the pool passes underneath unfinished business. Now we're kind of wrapping up with the last section here, which is new business. And we have the 2023 and 2024 budget.
You bet. So like you had at the beginning, we had the hearing at the beginning at 5:30. This is where then coming out of the hearing, the school board approved the budget. They approved the amount of levies that we are requesting to meet that budget. So again, formalities following through on what took place in the hearing earlier in the night. So,
okay. And that, that kind of covers budget and all that and the tax levies.
Yep.
Okay. And then, next up, delegates for the NDSBA convention.
Yeah. So NDSBA is North Dakota School Board Association convention that takes place at the end of October. So we have to pick delegates, voting delegates from Hettinger School Board. Because there are action items that'll be there that have implications on the state level that they then will vote for. Okay. And there are offices at the state level to where you have representation from regional areas that board members will be running for. I don't believe we have any of our local board members running for one of those, but they will vote on membership to the NDSBA council and the board as well. So it's a good convention. It runs over 2 days. A lot of legal classes take place. A lot of classes take place on course funding, and just a lot of school board. What's their role? What's the role of administration, and all that stuff. So, and actually, this year Paul Allen's going to be there.
Now, who's Paul Allen? For those who don't know,
oh, you don't know who Paul Allen? Andy, do you know who Paul Allen is?
I've seen American Psycho. Paul Allen.
So I've never seen American Psycho. I'm talking about Paul Allen, the voice of the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh,
so,
okay.
I haven't seen that show. He's going to be there. So,
And there's our bell.
Yeah. So Paul Allen does a lot of different things. So he's going to be there kind of as a keynote speaker just to talk about the role of educators and things like that and school boards moving forward, trying to unite communities rather than not unite communities.
Yep.
So he has a unique perspective from his life that he's had. And then of course his role, in, you know, being on the radio and then other things he does in the Minneapolis, St. Paul area. So that'll be kind of nice. Awesome. Kind of neat.
Very cool. So then, some of the last things we got here is the annual compliance report. And then we already have game admission prices. We already talked about that. So really it's the last item here.
You bet. And that I kind of touched on that annual compliance report in my board report. So again, that's just a yearly report. And I don't mean it to sound like, well, it's just a yearly report, but it's a report that's turned in by every school this time of the year to where we have to ensure that we have qualified staff based upon all the different licenses and things that North Dakota Educational Standards and Practice Board allows us to do, and our teachers are qualified in what we're having them to do, and that our administration has the proper qualifications across the board too. So it's just one more reassurance that Hettinger Public School District puts forward to the state. And as you know, there's other things such as MISO3 reporting and MISO1 and MISO2. Mm-hmm. But this is kind of that final thing saying, okay, we've done our due diligence. We've went through and checked everybody's licenses.
Yep.
They're up to date. Nobody's teaching or doing or performing any job that they're not legally qualified to do.
Yep.
So. Okay.
Awesome. Well, that pretty much wraps up this episode of Hawk Talk today. Darren, I want to thank you very much for coming in and sharing this information with us. Also, Andy, thanks for coming in and talking with us and providing the awesome thought-provoking questions and all of that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. And that is the end of our episode. So the next school board meeting is going to be on October 18th. At 6 p.m. in the school board room. And thanks for tuning in. Remember, you can listen to Hawk Talk wherever you listen to your podcast, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, or even here on YouTube. You can tune in there. Just look for Hawk Talk HPS and you'll find us. Thanks for tuning in and have a great day.